Want to post on social media while listening to the podcast? Well, you can use the hashtag Raging Black Girl, all one word, spelled RagingBlackGirl. You can also actually hit me up on social media at Raging Black Girl, spelled RagingBlackGirl on Twitter and Instagram. I can't wait to see your posts. Welcome to The Rage. I'm your host, Ray Soleil, and it's time for another episode of Raging Black Girl, the podcast. Okay, so I am entertained by this whole notion that people in the baby boomer generational bracket, what do we call them? I think it's just called generations, whatever, generational bracket, are up in arms about the utterance of the phrase, okay, boomer, in a condescending kind of tone. I don't remember the lady's name, but it was some, I don't even think it was in America, but this woman was on like some Supreme Court floor, and I guess she was talking about something, and I guess someone who was from the baby boomer generation of that age range was saying something, and then she was like, okay, boomer, like, all right, we get it, or something of that nature, kind of dismiss him. And then she continued, and now it's just blown up. It's like a meme, and it's a joke, but there are seriously people who are really upset about it. And it's so funny because it's like, this is also a generation of people who like had a lot of problematic like language that was actually violent, such as slurs and such, that was used and thrown around willy-nilly, that they still use, some of them still use to this day. And I'm not saying that older generations are more likely to use slurs and derogatory terms to refer to people, because Gen Z uses the words, like, it's not a gen. I don't like that we say stuff is generational, or like some language is generational. Some of it actually is, you know, it's like, oh, that's not the word that's used anymore, but this is the word that we use. But that, just because it's not the word that is widely used anymore, doesn't mean that people don't still use it. But that's besides the fact of that. But I just think it's so funny because baby boomers, Generation X, I don't know. A little bit, because they're between millennials and baby boomers, and they're kind of still like the cool aunties and uncles, and that's another part of this episode that I'm going to get to in a minute. Yeah, like, they're really upset about being called boomer. It's so wild because millennials keep getting shitted on when they really mean Generation Z, but millennials keep getting shitted on about the stuff that we do, and that we're the reason why we're broke is because we want to buy avocado toast and shit. And then there's an actual criticism to ruining the fucking economy and fucking shit up for us, and then pointing the finger at us. And so it's like, there, yes, millennials, everybody has issues because of the experiences that they've had while growing up. People called millennials, they call us like the everybody gets a trophy kind of thing, like the participation trophy thing or generation. And it's so, you know what? It's so such a wild fucking thing that, and this isn't even just about generations, just in general, how people blame the receivers for how a culture is. It's this is not the same thing at all, but it's like when girls are assaulted and then they're like, oh, she should have been wearing that, or that's her, like, putting the blame on them, and it's like, no, it's that's not the same thing, not where I was trying to go with that. So when girls are in like relationships with older people and it's essentially statutory rape, and how the blame was put on the girl, or let's not even say girl, the younger person, because this can happen in any kind of relationship with any gender, and like, it's a younger person who is in a relationship, they're like, you're hot ass or you're fast ass or you trying to be grown. And that's not, it's just kind of like, what about the adult in this situation? It's just so wild. And so like the participation trophy thing, it's like, y'all created that shit and did that for us. I don't understand. It's like, y'all are so weak now. And it's like, whose fault is that? And no, we're not. And no, we're not oversensitive. We just not taking no more shit and we're speaking up. And that's what's really frustrating about all this shit too, is that millennials get chastised and called special snowflakes, and not even all of us, because there are millennials who don't say these things, but it's like, damn, y'all, how, I just saw a meme today that said, how do we grow up watching Family Guy and some other show like that, and we're complaining about stuff or upset about stuff, and it's kind of like, because we know better now, like, it's, we know better, and we're trying to do better because we learned about people's experiences. At that time, we were also kind of like in high school, and we still believe that it's illegal to drive with the light on inside the car. We didn't know better then. But back to this whole topic, it's just that I've even seen like a screenshot of like an email sent around a company that said like, let's not use this language. And it's so fucking wild because people will be over here saying racist stuff and homophobic stuff and sexist stuff and even being and sexually harassing people. And people just dismiss that kind of shit. Like there's real shit happening. And all of a sudden we got to mobilize around this fake ass word, and now they're trying to equate it to nigga. Like, no, they're not the same word. They would say, oh, is the n-word the same as boomer? If you can't say one of the words, then it probably isn't. And it's so fucking annoying in how people try to equate all of these not derogatory and slur like words to the n-word. It's like nobody ever, it's so wild. It's like, oh, boomer, is it the new n-word? I forgot what other thing they tried to equate to the N-word, and it's like, no, it's not. Nobody ever tries to equate like the homophobic F-word to the, it's like words that actually could probably, and I'm not saying trying to play oppression Olympics or anything, but it's like, not, it just doesn't make sense what words they try to put up towards the N-word. It's just, it just does not make sense. And all of this hullabaloo over okay boomer, it's like, yeah, it doesn't feel so good now, does it? It really doesn't fucking feel good. And y'all are still, you know, not in power, but still have more power than we do, because y'all don't have student loan debt like we do. Y'all don't have limitations like we do. Y'all don't have to work. Well, probably they do probably have to work 4 and 5 jobs, but I don't know. Looking at baby boomers, I guess I'm trying to figure out my parents' generation. I mean, they were born in the 60s, so whatever, doesn't fucking matter. But it's just really funny and wild how it's just like all of a sudden everybody is up in arms and people claiming ageism with it, when it wasn't called ageism when it was going against millennials or talking about Gen Z or any of that stuff. It's just, and I'm not saying that ageism doesn't exist when in relation to baby boomers. I'm absolutely not saying that. But in this case, it's literally just like, okay, whatever, girl. Like, shut up. That's all it was. And now all of a sudden, it's this huge thing. And it's just so funny how when baby boomers, and this is very general, chastise younger people like, oh, y'all can't take a joke these days, or we can't be funnier, y'all always got to complain about something and something, something, something. But as soon as this okay boomer thing takes off as a fucking joke, everybody's all upset and everybody wants to pass off emails and everybody wants to write news articles about how it's so harmful and everything. And it's just kind of like, no, y'all just don't like being held accountable for the fuck shit that y'all done to where we are now. Like, it's just so silly and stupid. And I don't remember what I said I was going to talk about later, in the beginning of the me talking, that I was going to touch on later, but it just really fucking pissed me off. And I was going to talk about something else today, but I'm going to save that topic for another day. And that's why this episode's kind of late, because, well, I don't know, they're all kind of late, because I used to record on Sundays, and now today is a Sunday, but whatever, it doesn't fucking matter. The episode drops when it drops. But it actually is funny to me. It's just really funny to me, because there's all this, it's all this, like, criticism about how millennials are so sensitive, and we're special snowflakes. And quite honestly, we're just tired of your fuck shit, and we're going to speak up about it. And I really can't remember what I was going to talk about earlier. I really hate this. I really hate this. When I lose my train of thought, I should have wrote the shit down, but why do the right thing, right? But yeah, it's just there, and also in with generations, it's just such a misunderstanding and also hypocritical too, because looking at, so now I'm just gonna talk about generations now. Fine, whatever, I'm gonna do whatever the fuck I want. But how there's always this criticism like, oh, y'all are always on your phones and you're never looking up, like, why don't you communicate with people face to face and blah 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 blah. And then also conversations about how all these identities are new and all these mental illnesses are new and stuff. And it's like, none of this shit is fucking new. We just have language to talk about what it is or to name it. And to, and we're also trying to figure it out, because nobody's going to tell me that people didn't have anxiety back in like the 20s. Nobody, the 20s, when the fucking stock market crashed, like the Great Depression, it's called the Great Depression. People were jumping out of windows and shit. Like, y'all not going to tell me that people weren't depressed. Y'all just not chose, because the resources weren't there and the accessibility wasn't there, and segregation was also a thing, you know. But we're not going to act like all this stuff is new. And I think that's what really fucking frustrates me and pisses me off about any and everything, whether it's generational or not. It just really pisses me off when people act like when somebody utters something, it's just something completely new, and it's like, but even if it was new, why are we so quick to invalidate it and dismiss it? It's really fucking frustrating to dismiss that kind of stuff, because people are just trying to figure out who they are. It's okay. On one hand, it's like, oh yeah, everybody should be free to live their life, accept everybody and all that kind of shit. And then people are like, this is who I am. And then like, that's fake, or that's not real, or goddamn, y'all always wanted something, something, and y'all want to feel special, and where are black people's rights, because LGBTQ people have rights and all that kind of shit. And it's just, and it's like, nobody even really knows what's going on with anybody. And it's all just so performative. Because like, people will say, oh yeah, I accept LGBTQ people for who they are. And also people just like equate it to the bedroom. But then when someone's like, oh, I'm a trans woman, and they're like, oh, fellas, watch out, or she's not a real woman, or you don't get your period, or you can't have a baby, or something like that. And it's kind of just like, so do you really accept people for who they are? Or are you just saying that because that's the right thing to say? Because I'd rather you just not. But language is ever changing and ever growing and ever developing, and people are just trying to find ways to identify themselves. Like, they're called Gen Z, and I don't even know what Generation X is called, because they go by the alphabet, I guess, but it's like Gen X, and then there's Millennials, which was called Generation Y, and I think Y2K was a thing for a minute, but I guess Millennials is what caught on. I feel like that does make a little more sense. Now they're just called Gen Z, and there's no name for them, but there won't be a name for them until the next generation is like creating their own culture and creating their own stuff. Excuse me. But yeah, this is just it's just so fucking silly. It is so silly, but it's also really infuriating and frustrating, because it's just kind of like there is no empathy or reciprocal understanding. It's like there are all these words and all this chastising and finger pointing and really kind of like shaming. And I'm not saying, oh, poor millennials, but it's just kind of like, we just get a lot of fucking shit and nobody really listens or understands what we're going through. And the same thing with Gen Z, and I can be guilty of that, because there's some things that I just don't understand or that I get really frustrated with. And I definitely feel like a get off my lawn old person kind of thing when I deal with, or when I see the antics of Gen Z, because some stuff just doesn't make sense. But I also am aware that there are some experiences that they have not had that would not give them the mindset in which I have. Like, Gen Z grew up on iPads, or just like grew up with really quick and fast technology. Like, they don't know what dial-up is. And if they do, they don't know what it actually is. They don't know that the internet used to be on a CD. And like, I even sound wild to somebody from like Generation X, who was probably using like 8-tracks and shit, right? But I do think millennials are kind of unique, because we have seen the development of technology. Like we were like the beginning of when technology was really, really, really growing. I mean, we've had computers and shit for such a long time, but they were huge and they weren't in households. Like, I want to say probably the end tail of Gen X and millennials is when we started to see like computers in the home and like computer games and like video games, although there's like a Commodore computer on the console. We started seeing that in the home more often, and it was more accessible, and like having printers in the home and not having, you know, like I feel like that's really unique and different. And but still having dial-up, like Google was not what it was. Like Ask Jeeves was what everybody went to, and even then I knew it was just such an inadequate search engine, but I know no better. I was like 7 or 8, right? AOL chat rooms and all that kind of stuff, right? But we still had to use dictionaries, and we still had to use like physical dictionaries, physical encyclopedias, and phone books, right? We had to use phone books. Like you used to get the phone book by like at your house, and the newspaper too. I know some people probably still get the newspaper, but my family doesn't get the newspaper anymore. But it's like we had that, and so we had to actually search for stuff, and it took time, and we had to like use a landline, you know, like I had to sit by the phone and wait. Or turn the ringer up, whatever. But I had to sit by the phone and wait for somebody to call. And when we got cell phones, we had to wait after a certain hour. And but now Gen Z doesn't know that experience, and so everything is very instant. So, but I'm understanding that they had, and that's just one thing that I still try to figure it out. And but I know that that is an experience that they didn't have. And so there's just some things that they just don't know, or they're not thinking of. And their world is just completely different too. Like memes are a work of Gen Z. Like we're not going to act like, well, maybe millennials. I don't know. Maybe it was the work of younger millennials, because I know older millennials didn't make up memes, and I know people my age didn't make up memes. But like even the way we communicate on Twitter and social media and all that kind of shit, like all of that is very, very Gen Z-ish, and maybe the end tail of millennials, but definitely Gen Z-ish. So, but I understand that. I don't feel the understanding of generations before millennials that as to why we are how we are with some of the things that they may be frustrated with. It's like y'all are so, I don't know. And then like the concept of like women in younger generations and how we're empowered and stand up for ourselves and aren't taking on traditional roles and like all the gender roles that play in. And part of it sounds like there is some sort of envy maybe, or jealousy that like that wasn't like at the time of older generations, like it wasn't even that possible for that many women to do whatever they want. I'm not saying like, oh, y'all just mad. I think it really is just like, I really wish I had that. But there was not men, like, I don't want to say there was no way, because I know there's rebellious people in every stage of life, throughout history and throughout time, that there are rebellious people who go against the norm. Like, I know that's definitely a thing. And it definitely was happening like around the feminist movement. So that was pretty stupid of me to say, but it wasn't as like widespread as it is now. Like, or as common, I guess, as it is now, where women are kind of just like, yeah, I'm gonna do whatever I want. If I want to wear my titties out, I'm gonna wear my titties out. Like there is no etiquette kind of stuff. But on the other hand, we do lack etiquette, and that's why reality shows are so popular and great. But also, what generation are our reality shows? Like, that's not millennials. Well, some of them are, but millennials are not on reality TV. Millennials are not on reality TV, or a majority of them. Like, if we look at the cast of all the Real Housewives, they are grown-ass women. But yeah, I think that there isn't usually a big picture scope of what's going on when people are like, oh, y'all do this, or y'all can't understand this, or I don't understand why y'all do this. And back in my day, we didn't do that and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, I still don't remember what I was going to say or address. Let's take a break, and I'm gonna go listen back and see what I said. Yeah, we're gonna take a break. Listen to that entire first part, and I don't know what the hell, like, I can't find it. Like, I don't know what it was, but oh well. But listening back to what I was saying before the break was like, the hypocrisy is just jumping out, and it'd be something different if the okay boomer came at the expense of, like, they have cancer, right? because of some of the products that they were using, that companies were not forthright about the ingredients they were using for their products that can be cancerous or whatever, right? It'd be really insensitive and I think very valid for baby boomers to be really upset and hurt by OK Boomer if they were like, that's why OK Boomer, that's why y'all got cancer, because y'all were dumb to use those products. And that's not what I believe or anything, but people do say mean things similar to those kinds of statements about people and their experiences, because that's not fair to them. But to say OK Boomer to someone who will say, y'all millennials, y'all don't know about hard work, OK Boomer, and then it'll be like angry and upset and just so upset that you got called a baby boomer. It's like, that's what you are, just like, I'm a millennial, that's what you are. And it's even wilder because from what I've seen and also my own personal experience, when people chastise millennials, I mean, I do stand up or I'm just like, that's not really true, but nobody ever like wilds out about it. What we do wild out about is injustice and discrimination and the mistreatment and further disenfranchisement of people. That is what we be wilding about. And Gen Z be wilding about it too. But I feel like older generations, because I think they had to possibly, I wouldn't know because I'm not of that generation. I wasn't alive, but it's sort of like a mind my business kind of situation, which is why so many problems, and I'm not saying that's the case at all. But a lot of the times, it is like, oh, I just mind my business. If it's not my problem, it ain't got nothing to do with me. We're not going to intervene. We don't want to get involved with that. And that still does kind of happen today with interpersonal issues. Domestic violence is what keeps popping up in my head because back in the day, if people were in abusive relationships, they would stay. But also, and when people stay in relationships now, there's a criticism like, why don't you just leave, without people actually understanding how domestic violence works and how it can be a lot more dangerous and what the cycle of abuse and power and all that kind of stuff look like. But back then, it wasn't really a question of if I'm going to leave. It's just, am I going to go to my mom's house for a few days with the kids? Or am I just going to ignore this? Am I just going to go get some more makeup and cover this black eye up? Like, it was more so, how am I going to cope with this at the time? And other people who knew that kind of stuff was going on would not interject usually, or would not intervene. And because those are the people that were raising us, some of us have gotten that kind of rhetoric passed down to us. But I'm saying, like, in terms of like fighting for rights and injustice, like, I feel like allyship is a lot more active now. Well, allyship is supposed to be active, but people are actually allies a lot more so now than they were before. Like, I feel like solidarity, not that I'm saying it's the strongest it's ever been, but I think solidarity is a lot more in actuality than it used to be back then. Just looking at like the movements that were happening at the time, like if it was a civil rights movement, it's predominantly black people. If it's the feminist movement, it's predominantly white women, right? Like even women's suffrage, you know, black women were helping, but it benefited white women. And it was mostly white women that are seen and at the forefront. And this is what I see, pictures I've seen. I don't know. Like the people in my family who were of these older generations are no longer living, so I can't really ask any of them. Like I can't text anybody right now, but like, oh, so what was it like? Like I can text my dad, but like he's probably asleep too. But point is, whatever. That doesn't matter. I don't even know why I said that, but you know, it's just, I feel like there's more solidarity now with younger generations. And I think that's something that older generations just can't really understand. And also this whole, we make a joke of everything, like, and we make a joke about like our plight, like we laugh about stuff all the time. And so like the OK Boomer thing, it's like, we're really just laughing at that shit and it's not even that serious to us. But for some people, it really is. And also, I know people are just like jumping on the bandwagon to get like some attention and likes. I'm talking about like people writing articles or whatever about it. But yeah, I just do not know what I was going to say. I was going to say for later. But yeah, I just keep saying the same thing, but it's really fucking funny. It's just so funny to me. It's so funny, but it's also kind of annoying and frustrating because it's like, you have been saying this to us about our age and our experiences and our generation and just kind of dismissing us and being condescending about it. and not really understanding where it's really coming from. And then two words are uttered, okay, boomer. And then all of a sudden it's an issue. And it was really fucking frustrating. It's everybody, not everybody, but people trying to rally behind, like, this is not okay to say, we should not be saying this. And it's like, people are actually being murdered out here. Like that little girl, yes, little girl, she's in college. She is very young. She was murdered because she reported her, her roommate's boyfriend, for, I don't know if he actually assaulted her, but there was a non-consensual contact in which she reported it, and then they murdered her. And it's like, you're not really paying attention and you're not really listening. And there are boomers who are running our colleges and universities, and this happens a lot, where students will report the experiences that they had, like their sexual assault or a bias incident or something, and the schools will kind of be like, well, there's this and well, there's that, or they'll move really slow behind it, or they'll dismiss it in some way. And that's so like actively like how things are dismissed in court. But it's kind of like, oh, well, that doesn't really sound like that's what happened here. It sounds like it was this. And it's really easy for that to happen because like they're the adults in this situation. And the students in college are like baby adults in this situation, like fresh new adults out of like the adult chamber kind of thing. And that happens very often. And I think that is so telling about how like, oh, these kids today don't understand this. Or, oh, these kids today don't understand that. And it's like, maybe we really don't, but you're not even trying to help me understand. And oh God, I just keep thinking more and more and more, because it's like, they're like, y'all don't know how to balance a checkbook. One, we don't really have to, but at the time when people were saying that a lot, it's like, but you're not trying to teach me. And I wish that my generation had the tenacity and the clapback-ishness-esque that Gen Z has with adults, because has somebody said to me, you don't even know how to do this, or these kids today, I'm like, all right, well, teach me then. Teach me right now. Because it's like, y'all keep pointing a finger and chastising. It's like, y'all are the people who are teachers. Y'all are the ones who vote on what this curriculum is going to be like. Y'all are the ones who vote these people into office, who make these decisions about what our education system is like. Y'all can't be upset when there's so much teen pregnancy, although teen pregnancy is lower now than it used to be back in the day. But y'all get so upset about teen pregnancy, but like, what are y'all doing to prevent it? Saying no sex does not help, because it didn't help y'all, did it? It didn't help the generation before y'all, did it? It's just really fucking frustrating how there's all this hypocrisy. I mean, it is hypocritical, but all this shit flying our way because of the things that we do and the things that we say and the situations and our circumstances. I'm not saying that we can't take, like, now, of course, I can learn how to balance a checkbook if that was still a thing. Like, I could teach myself now, but at the time when we were children, it was just very much like, y'all don't know how to do nothing. And it's like, I'm 18. I wouldn't know how to do nothing. This is not the same thing. I don't think there's a lack of understanding. There's a lack of wanting to understand what our situations are now. This is not, clearly not the same. Like, I'm recording a podcast on a phone right now. Like, this was not a thing 20 years ago. This wasn't even a thing 10 years ago. So it's just kind of like, well, not in this way. I'm pretty sure people would have been able to, like, record. You could record audio on phones. But point is, you know, like, things are ever changing and situations are very different and circumstances are different and culture is very different. And it doesn't seem to be a wanting to understand what that was like. It is happening on our part and trying to, like, we learn in history what, like, we know about the Great Depression. That's not the boomer generation. We know that for a fact. But it's like we're learning things in school or on the internet or whatever about what stuff was back then and what the situation was back then. And so we understand now that minimum wage should be way more because because of how the economy is different and how the cost of living is more. And like, we know all that stuff because we learned it or we looked into it or something of that nature. I'm not saying everybody understands that, but it's not reciprocal where older generations are trying to understand the circumstances and the situations that we're in now. And also not trying to understand how we got here, although they were living how we got here, or they did how we got here, or they made it so how we got here. And it's just, I think that in talking all that out, that's probably the biggest frustration, or where the root of my frustration lies with this whole hullabaloo over okay boomer, because it's just kind of like, you're mad because somebody said okay boomer in dismissing whatever you were saying. And it was probably, you know what, I don't even know the situation, but it was probably because the person that she said okay boomer to was not being understanding of what she was talking about. Matter of fact, I'm about to look that shit up right now. Where did okay boomer come from? It's already in Google.
Okay Boomer is a viral catchphrase that originated on social media platform TikTok and gained popularity throughout 2019, used to dismiss or mock attitudes typically attributed to the baby boomer generation. So it sounds like there has been debate over whether the phrase is ageist. It's already got a Wikipedia page. Okay, boomers are also Oklahoma looks settled.
Like there's a problem.
Stop it. Never mind. This damn Google Home wanna talk. The phrase okay boomer is a pejorative retort used to dismiss or mock perceived narrow-minded, outdated, negatively judgmental, or condescending attitudes of older people, particularly baby boomers. The term has been used as a retort for perceived resistance to technological change, climate change denial, marginalization of minorities, or opposition to younger generations. The origin of it, okay boomer, began as a reaction to a video of an unidentified older man in which he declared that millennials and Generation Z have the Peter Pan syndrome. They don't ever want to grow up. They think that the utopian ideals that they have in their youth are somehow going to translate into adulthood. The video inspired the phrase okay boomer as a retaliation and criticism against the ideals of the past generations that have shaped politics, economics, and the environment so strongly. The term is believed to have been used in April 2018. Started to become popular from January 2019. The term gained media popularity in early November 2019, which, like, right now, when articles about the phrase were published. As of early November 2019, videos tagged with hashtag OKBoomer on TikTok had been viewed more than 44.6 million times. A hoodie designed by a U.S. artist. I don't care about that. Notable uses in early this is where I first saw the video, what I was talking about earlier. In early November 2019, New Zealand MP Chloe Swarbrick, while giving a speech supporting a climate change bill in Parliament, promptly responded with okay boomer after an older member of Parliament interjected in disbelief to her claim that the average age of Parliament was 49 years old. And the fact that he tried to dismiss that, like, that's something that can actually be proven, and you're just gonna no, that's not true. Also in November 2019, Politico used a variation of the meme in an editorial about former mayor of New York City, Michael Bloomberg's possible candidacy for president of the United States, entitled OK Bloomberg. Reactions have been mixed, with perspectives ranging from the hatred is justified to the baby boomers are not to be blamed. It is considered by some to be highly ageist. The conservative radio host Bob Lonsberry went as far as labeling the boomer as the N-word of ageism. Ageism is whatever. In a controversial, now deleted tweet, because your ass probably got dragged and read. Furthermore, he stated that being hip and flip does not make bigotry okay, nor is a derisive epithet acceptable because it is new. Writing for The Guardian, Bhaskar Sankara criticized the meme in November 2019, saying that members of the baby boomer generation instead need solidarity, as many older workers and retirees are struggling to survive, as half of Americans approaching age 65 have less than $25,000 in savings. And even in reading that very last sentence, it's like, yeah, we're struggling right now too, and we already have debt that we will never be able to pay off. Like, my student loan debt is twice the amount of how much I make. And like I talked about before, like, I make a pretty decent amount, and I still can't afford my student loan payments, even with the income-based or pay-as-you-earn kind of thing, where it's based on my income, because with the payment plans, they take this 10% of your income. It's just not feasible. But that's the origin of baby boomer. I mean, okay boomer, and where it's how it's gone recently, but it's been a thing since last year in April. But the reaction video to that man saying that we have Peter Pan syndrome, of course I don't want to fucking grow up, and you probably didn't. Well, at the time, growing up was fine because there weren't as many issues. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying people weren't able to pay the light bill or anything of that nature. Like, there's definitely income inequality amongst people still to this day, but I don't think there's really an understanding. And I don't even understand what people are going through, because, again, I'm like, my financial situation is pretty all right. I'm looking to try and increase or advance my finances right now. Like, I'm not struggling. I'm not struggling by any means. And even I just feel worried about my finances, and I'm not struggling. So I can only imagine people who are like, well, I work retail. I work 3 part-time jobs because I can't find full-time work. And then they don't have benefits. You know what I'm saying? It's just kind of like, there's just no understanding. And it's like, people who are 65 and older, or hitting 65,
aren't making that much money. And it's like, yeah, we aren't either. And that's something that we can understand about each other and relate to one another. And the thing is, from where I'm standing, millennials and even Gen Z understand that older generations are struggling to survive, but I feel like their generation is not understanding how we're struggling to survive as well, and not seeing the validity in our concerns with social issues and social inequality. Like, yeah, we don't want to fucking grow up. And saying, I think it's also really sad in a way, and how it is thought that we have utopian ideals, I guess because we just want people to be okay and like free healthcare, and that people should not be hungry, people should not be homeless, people should not be without healthcare. Like, these are three things that are 100% feasible and possible if money was put into it. Like, it's so simple. Everything is money. And it's even more wild because they're defunding things that we need, and they're putting more money into like the military and just stuff that we don't need more money in. And if there was actual conversations across generational gamuts, I think we could get somewhere. But it's just, there is no understanding. People really get in their feelings because we're talking about ourselves and our livelihood and our survival. And I don't think there is actually a way for people to actually listen when they're trying to defend themselves. And I may have said this before on an episode about how when you're defending yourself, you're not really able to, or maybe I read that somewhere. It's like, you're defending yourself and that your number one priority is to defend yourself and people like you, and speaking specifically about millennials. So you're not really trying to listen to understand, you're listening to respond. But it can be really hurtful too, because it just feels like we don't want to grow up, or we want to grow up, but it's like, you're not trying to treat us how we want to grow up either. And there just is no empathy or understanding for people and their experiences. And it's kind of like, I'm pretty sure your life would have been better, and I'm not saying that baby boomers' lives were awful, but I'm pretty sure their lives would have been better had there been more empathy, had there been more understanding, had there been less inequality. I don't know, but that's it. That's all I gotta say. We're gonna go ahead and wrap the show up. I remember what I was going to say. It was about the aunties and uncles. I kept like skipping over, like, I don't know, whatever. But that was another thing, because the descriptions about like how we address our elders or whatever. And I remember there was this hullabaloo. It's the word of the day, people. Hullabaloo. About being called auntie specifically, like older Black women. Like, Oprah didn't want to be called auntie. A couple other actions, like, I'm fine being called auntie or whatever. And it's just kind of like, on our part, it's like, when we say auntie, we're really like, we look up to you and we admire you. And it's a term of endearment and affection. It's not a term. It's not even looking at age. I think it's more so about maturity level that we see. I'm just gonna speak about me. Maturity level. And it's like, when I think of auntie, I think of like Niecy Nash, right? I don't think about Oprah's auntie, quite honestly. That's like grandmom to me, kind of. Not really. My grandmother, if she was still alive, that she'd be much older by like 10 years maybe. But Oprah's closer to grandma than she is to auntie to me. But I also don't subscribe to Oprah, like, actually, or even like, I never really have been gravitated towards Oprah. I appreciate the stuff she's done and I respect her and everything, but like, I'm never going to watch the Oprah show. I just don't, that's not my thing. But I know Oprah was like, don't call me auntie. But Tracee Ellis Ross is an auntie. Niecy Nash is an auntie. Taraji P. Henson, they're aunties to me. Like, they're fun and wild, because that's not your mom, right? Your mom is not that. Your mom is seen as someone who's a little bit more, these are the rules I'm setting, that's what it's going to be. Your auntie, right? Not your aunt. Your auntie is like the one that you can go, once you're 21, y'all go out to the bar and y'all could drink at the cookout. She's going to slide you a couple of beers or a couple of wine coolers. She's the one that probably took you to get your first lace bra, right? Like, that's auntie. And that's how I see it. And the fact that there was so much, not hostility, there was just so much hesitation restriction. They were really trying to block it. Like some older black women in Hollywood, they was really like, no, don't call me auntie, because of an age thing, I suppose. And like auntie would, I guess they see auntie as somebody who's older and outdated kind of thing. But like auntie's the fun one. Like you want to learn the new line dance from her. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just very, there's auntie behavior. Like Keke Palmer be acting like auntie and she ain't old. It's just like she's carefree and fun and wild in the sense that like of carefreeness and just kind of like very unapologetically them and just wants to have a good time and is really fun, good energy, you know, like a light around them. And that's usually how I see auntie, but that's what I remembered. I can't believe like I could not remember that. But whatever. Now we gonna close the show out. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of Raging Black Girl, the podcast. I'm your host, Ray Soleil, and until next time, rage on. Want to become a supporter of Raging Black Girl, the podcast? I have four easy ways that you can do that. First, you can support right through the Anchor app in which I record the show. All you got to do is hit support this podcast and you're already on your way. Second, you could become a patron on patreon.com/ragingblackgirl. There are several tiers there that should work in anybody's price range. Third, you can listen to the show on some of your favorite platforms such as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And fourth, you can share the show on social media, but don't forget to tag me at Raging Black Girl, all one word, no underscores, and no other characters. And those are the four ways in which you can support Raging Black Girl, the podcast. Thanks so much for supporting.